This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN and 960 The Zone. Sports Saturday is powered in part by Bagels Plus, with over 18 different varieties of bagels coming today for fresh and hot homemade goodness. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Superb Cupcakes, the gourmet cupcakery who specializes in taste. Yum! Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. Periwinkles in downtown Burlington. Visit them online at periwinkles.com. And now, it's Sports Saturday.
We are living the dream and taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. A dreary Saturday morning. It's rainy and wet and cold outside today here.
Is it November? Like,
I know, it feels like
getting
November.
Ready to play a soccer game or something like that?
Don't bring me back, buddy. That was great. That was great. This would be a bad day to play soccer. This feels like we're getting ready to play CBU, though. This would be good weather if we were playing CBU and girls soccer. Anyone that knows Colchester girls soccer knows when we play CBU, it's a monsoon.
It's awful.
It's like historic weather whenever we play those guys.
It's awful.
Anyway, I am Jeff Paul, your host, Bernie Siplicki. I love the sweatshirt, man.
Oh, thank you.
It matches a personality. I love it. In fact, I was at Dick's the other day, and I noticed that I almost bought it for myself and was going to wear it, hoping that we could have the same sweatshirts on. You know what I mean? I can just imagine what that would have looked like. You know what it looked like? Twins. You know that movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito? I'd have been Danny
DeVito.
Sure do. Yeah, you know that. Dave Hunter, well done on the Sports Center, young man.
Yeah.
And I like the glasses. So and what you don't know is Dave's playing hurt today. Forgot his glasses.
Forgot my glasses.
So he stole
my
somebody's.
Reading glasses.
Yeah, your reading glasses. Right, understood. Right. Your little bifocal things you like to wear. Even though I don't think you need to get a new prescription for those because you never read anything right that I write anyway.
Well.
So maybe, you know, maybe the reason you did a good job was that those are working for you.
Couldn't be the writing.
655-6672 is the number to call. 802-655-6672 to join this show. Oh, yes, Dave.
Question.
Go ahead.
Number one, how come you're not standing today? That was your new thing the last 2 weeks. You've
Good
been
point.
Standing. Your voice was deep. You were confident. And you're sitting. And you're wearing your hat. I thank you for that.
Well, okay. Shut up. You jerk. And you just laugh at him. This is what it's like when you go, you know, you walk into the, this is what I feel. Let me tell you what I feel.
I didn't see that one coming.
Yes, you did.
No,
it's so textbook over Dave. He's got to pick on me with those leopard glasses you have on right now.
There you go.
But this is what it's like. I come in here every day. Hey, guys, how's it going? And it's like you just start picking on me. It's like sitting in the cool kid play. We go to the cafeteria as a kid and you decide you're going to sit down with the older kids. Yeah, that's what I feel
like.
You're like
the younger brother.
Yeah, you're just beat down on me all the time. Anyway, there I was. Now, I was in good mood. Now I'm in a bad mood. You just ruined my whole mood.
What do you mean? You had a great week.
I did have a good week. I had a great, yes. I always have great, yeah. It was a good week, but I had the best.
No, you had a great week.
You had
a great span of
like 24
hours.
I had a 24-hour span that was just phenomenal. You're absolutely right. Got to go to Boston with my wife. I had tickets. Everyone knows I'm a big Virginia Cavalier basketball fan, and the Cavs were in town against Boston.
Hence the hat.
Hence my hat. I got a UVA hat on. Yeah. Love my UVA Catamounts. UVA Cavaliers. They were at Boston College. Had tickets. So my wife and I went down to Boston.
You go to a lot of places.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I mean, remember that show you saw there a little while ago there?
Michael and Kelly.
Yeah, you were there.
I know we're jumping around.
Yeah,
Michael Strahan is now co-producing a reality show with Alex Rodriguez.
Is he really? Oh, yeah. I heard A-Rod. Is that Michael Strahan's doing it, too?
Yeah. He's co-producing it.
Yeah, good for him.
Michael Strahan, everything he does goes to gold.
Michael Strahan's a man.
He's gifted.
That is true.
And I got a good picture with him. And I look taller than him in the picture, by the way.
Impossible.
Awesome.
Impossible.
Let me tell you how high I was. Anyone that's seen the picture, stop it! You guys are brutal. First of all, now you're like 12 years old. I mean, high in height. I was standing up on like a ladder type thing.
Yeah, he said he was high.
Stop it! You're annoying. You are annoying. Both of you. And then Bernie just looks at you and laughs like, he said the word high.
Hey, Bernie, back in grade school, did you sit in the back of the room too?
All the time.
Me too.
Surprise! What a surprise. Not me. I was front row. And up, answering questions, you know, trying to get that A.
That's probably why you're a business owner.
I got a lot of C's, but I tried to get an A. I got a lot of D's, too, but whatever, we won't talk about that. But the time that I met Michael Strahan, when I got the picture, I was sitting in a row that was much higher in height than he was standing. And when he walked up to me, he said, "Hey, man, you better not be telling people you're taller than me." And I was like, well, that's exactly what I'm going to be telling people. But let's be transparent. I'm not much taller.
No.
At all. In fact, I'm not even. I'm not even up. I'm very short next to him.
Michael Strahan, the all-time sacks leader in the NFL.
Yes, sir. Did it against
did
who?
Did you know that?
Who's the come on, David. Stop. Okay.
Brett Favre, Green Bay.
Thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome.
Even though Brett Favre kind of gave it to him.
No, he totally took it down.
Oh, yeah. Took, yeah. No question about it. I think it was like the last play of the game.
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty. Anyway, but
that's right. On the little bootleg.
Yeah, remember? It was like, I'm just going to do it. You got to love Brett Favre for that. You know, yeah. Even Strahan didn't know what to do.
Yeah. He's like, I guess I better touch him.
It was like two-hand touch. I mean, the waves parted. The Green Bay line fell down. The Giants were getting pummeled that day, if you remember. I mean,
oh,
he was having his way with them. And good for Brett Favre. And good for Michael Strahan. And anyway, yes, I have been to a few things, but got to go see Virginia play BC. Had a great day in Boston. I have never seen a major city, and I love the city of Boston. I'm not a fan of their teams. I get it, but that is one of the greatest cities in the world. But there's nobody there. We got to Boston at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, went to our hotel, changed a little bit, headed out to grab something to eat before the game, walked Faneuil Hall. There was nobody at Faneuil Hall. 42 degrees in Boston, maybe a little bit of rain, but it was nice. It was warm. I was just wearing like, you know, I was wearing like a sweatshirt and jeans. It was a perfect day. Nobody's there.
Students weren't in school.
Bernie, it's Boston.
Okay.
It's a city of Boston.
Sorry.
No,
just throwing out ideas.
I'm just saying there's nobody there. So we decide where like I said, where do you want to go to eat? I'm like, oh, let's go over here. So we walk in. There's Dick's Last Resort. You ever been to a Dick's Last Resort?
No.
Do yourself a favor. Dave, you ever been to one of those?
No. It's related to the sports store?
No.
No.
Dick's Last Resort is a place where they insult you every time, whenever you're in there. They give you these goofy hats and make fun of you. They want you to start fighting. Like,
so what's the difference between there and you being here right now?
Nothing. That's why I am game for Dick's Last Resort. There was nobody in there. So then we decided, well, go check Cheers out. Nobody's at Cheers, you know, because we're kind of like doing the we're not from here kind of want to go play. Anyway, we decided to go over to the Hard Rock Boston, and there's nobody in there either. So we had, you know, it was fun. We had the place to ourselves.
But more importantly.
Yes.
At the game, you sent me a nice picture.
I did.
You know, of you with Corey Alexander.
One
of the greatest shooters.
One of the greatest shooters in Virginia's history.
ACC history.
If he didn't get hurt, he would have been a gamer. But when I was growing up, when I was like in my middle school, high school years, was my favorite player. And he was calling the game for ESPN. And I just saw him. I go, hey, you know, can I get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah. So we start talking. I'm trying to, you know, I got my arm around. He's got my arm around. I put my thumb up. My wife goes, put your thumb down. And she's taking the picture. And he looks at me and goes, starts laughing. And I'm like, see what I'm dealing with? You know, right. And she's telling me, don't pose like that. He always does. And then she tells him, you know, he's got a radio show in Burlington. Will you come on his show? Hey, Corey, will you come on his show? And I'm looking at him like, oh, Monica, please be quiet. But will you come on the show? You know what I mean? I was doing one of those things. But I was so starstruck. Not that I get too starstruck, but I didn't want to, you know, you feel embarrassed, you know, because your wife is throwing out these things. And
what about the crowd there? Nothing?
No, I'm going to tell you something. There were chants for Virginia. I mean, there was more orange and blue there than there was the gold and maroon of BC. There was nobody there for them.
That's mind-boggling.
It was crazy. And Virginia's, I mean, there were a lot of people there. The place was probably three-quarters full. I mean, the whole bottom area was full. I mean, it was a lot of people. The ESPN was there. There were a lot of famous people watching the game, which is kind of cool. Me.
Okay.
Right? But the crowd was very mild. Virginia pounded them, but, I mean, there was nobody there. I mean, for an ACC game like that, I have gone to the last time. Actually, I've been to BC when Duke's been there.
Yeah.
I've been to BC when Virginia was there 2 years ago, and that crowd was rabid. I mean, they were very there was nothing going on. And
so,
I'll tell you,
do we have a show today?
Well, no, but I want to get to the best part for me,
being
the sentimental man that I am.
Yeah.
And after the game?
Yeah, after the game, we decided we want to go get something. Nothing's open in Boston after 10 o'clock. There's no, there's nothing, what?
But where did you go? And tell me the importance of that.
Oh, well, part of the trip was we went to Monica and I, our first date in Boston was at this place called The Tap, which is now a restaurant. Tells you how long ago we started dating, and we went back in there to have a little cocktail and, you know, reminisce a little bit.
And that was your first date?
Yeah. I don't think it was our first date. It was like one of our first dates. Yeah, it was like the first place that we kind of hung out together when she was in Boston. Yeah.
Then what did you do?
Then went to the Virginia game. It was great. And then we tried to find something to eat after, walking around. Nothing's open. Everything closes at 10, except for our second favorite pizza place in the world, which next to Romanto's, of course, is called Regina's Pizza in the North End. They're open till 12 o'clock. We went over there, hung out there. That place was packed. They had a bunch of Knicks fans in there because the Knicks were in town playing the Celtics. Tough loss for your Celtics, by the way. That's a bad loss.
That's because Plumlee played great.
My God. terrible. Anyway, it was a great trip. We had a great time. Anyway, okay. Do you want me to talk about the show, Dave? You keep rolling your eyes at
well,
me.
Well, yeah, you know,
we do have a show today. What are we talking about?
We do. I mean, I imagine.
Nobody cares about my. This is your life, Jeff Paul. Nobody cares about that. Bernie seems to care. You don't seem to care, David.
Do we have guests?
Of course we have guests. What a show we have, by the way.
And we've only done 1 week of his life. It's great.
Oh, really? That's one day.
24 hours.
One day of my life.
And you notice that big thing where he went to pizza and he went to the game and everything was like, what, third date? What, you know what happens on third? Did he finish the story?
Be quiet.
No.
You're annoying. What a show we have today, by the way. First hour at 10:22. During the promo that I ran this week, we talked about that we have a special guest. So we have Vermont native Joe Caligeri coming on. He's the founder of Stadium Performance out of Boston. He has been the professional strength and conditioning coach for the Patriots in 2004 when they won the world championship. He's also been with the LA Kings. He's been with a lot of organizations, the United States hockey team. He's going to come and join us today. We're going to talk a little bit about his career, but also talk about what it's like, Bernie, to be with Coach Belichick and Brady and the football team, you know, like that. Can you imagine what the behind the scenes are, how they prepare, what it's like for these guys? Joe's going to give us an inside input on what's going on with the Patriots. Pretty cool stuff, I think. And a Vermont native.
Right. I mean, that's going to be awesome. Anytime you can get those little caveats and behind the scenes stuff, I mean, how can you not look forward
to it? And those are things you love, because if you're a Patriot fan, and Bernie and I obviously are, I think we both can say we both respect the Patriots. I don't, maybe not you. I mean,
yeah, no.
I mean, you really
have to.
You have to. And I think what the Patriots have done, I don't dislike the New England Patriots. I mean, the truth is, I really don't. I mean, even as a Giant fan, people think because I'm a Giant fan, I hate the Patriots. Not at all. Right. I have a lot of respect for Belichick, and I think it's amazing they've been so competitive for so long. I mean, it's amazing. Go ahead.
But all I know is this with the Patriots, I'm going to kind of, you know, go off kilter a little bit. I was in my driveway today in a Boston, one of my neighbors who's a big Boston fan, he goes, hey, you know, Bernie, you think if Brady wins, he's going to retire and just stick it to Goodell in the NFL after this? Why not go out on top?
Oh.
Something we can talk about later.
We can talk about, but I think that, I don't know if that's the best, I don't know.
Why not?
Poor guy has to go home to his supermodel wife.
Yeah, tough life he's got.
Yeah.
You win. You're the greatest of all time. You go out on top.
He's the GOAT already. He's the greatest of all time already.
The quarterback situation behind him is good. But
all right,
anyways,
we'll talk about that. But you know, but
I like
for me,
it.
Well, we can listen. We'll ask Joe about that. We'll ask Joe. I know. Sorry, you like it, and everybody else in the AFC East likes it too. If he'd retire as well,
Bernie,
I can tell
you're
you that.
Like a conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
Not as bad as he's a conspiracy theorist. Like those glasses you have on, man, those are brutal. Got to tell you what, look at those things.
It's radio, man.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
He looks metro.
Metro, yeah.
I think they make me sound better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But for me, I think the interview will be good because we all know that Bill Belichick gives people nothing in his interviews. He's very, you know, monotone. He's very bland, you know.
Really?
To me, at least. I think it'll be fun to get some background information. We're also going to talk at 10:40 to Irvin Bryson, head coach of the Vermont Bucks. Those of you that don't know, we have a professional football team starting here in March. And Irvin is the coach and the general manager. He's going to be in studio at 10:40. We're going to talk about the Bucks and what you can do to get tickets. I mean, the players are going to be arriving soon. This is going to be exciting. I am truly really excited about this thing that's going on. It's happened quickly. That's for me. Didn't this thing just get announced like less than a year ago? I thought it was a joke.
We were talking about it this summer.
Yeah.
You know, that's when it really, you know, started to get its traction. And here we are.
And they're
ready. And let's go.
They have a schedule.
Corporate sponsors have been sold for the gut. And you know they're serving alcohol?
Yeah, Dave, we got that.
You know who else serves alcohol?
ESOX.
Yes. You know the address?
Oh, I should, but you know, it's across from the divorce court.
Yes, 194 Main Street across from the divorce court, downtown Burlington, Vermont.
Don't we have a show to do?
Yeah. Well,
Second half of the hour, we're going to talk to Joe Giuliano. He's a Villanova beat writer for the Philly Inquirer, the number one ranked team in the country, the Villanova Wildcats, and the defending national champions. We're going to get the inside info, Bernie, on the Cats.
Have you ever going to tell out the phone numbers? That's a thing.
Maybe you need a hearing aid, too, because I've been saying that all day. 802-655-6672.
Glasses aren't working.
No kidding.
Nor your ears.
We'll be right back.
Join the conversation.
Can we talk sports?
Yeah, okay.
802-655-6672. Sport. 101.3 ESPN.
Hour by hour on Saturday, we're mostly cloudy. Isolated light rain or snow showers are possible. High temperatures climb to near 40. Tonight into Sunday, cloudy skies continue with still an outside shot at a few rain or snow showers. Lows fall to near 33. Do be careful of isolated slick spots. On Sunday, we're mostly cloudy and mainly dry. High temperatures a pinch warmer, too. Highs climbing to near 42. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN. I'm Chief Meteorologist Sean Parker with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 38 degrees at 101.3 ESPN.
Another day of local sports talk.
I'll tell you another one I'm into is this Mountain Monsters. That's a good show.
Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the show. 655-6672. If you're local and want to give us a buzz and chat with us, Jeff Paul, Bernie Sabilke, Dave Hunter. Hey, a lot of people come out of this state of Vermont and really make it big. And this guy right here is a Vermont native, Rutland, Vermont native, and he has got so much going on. I can't wait to talk. Joe Caligiuri joins us now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Jeff.
It's a long time no see, buddy. It's been so fun to kind of chronicle your career and see where you've been. Right now, you're the founder of Stadium Performance, but let's talk a little bit so people in our audience know like where you've come from. You know, you're a Rutland, Vermont kid. You went to BC, you know, you worked at BC for a while. Talk about where you've been and what's going on with you now.
Sure. So I grew up in Rutland, Vermont, ended up going to Castleton State College, now Castleton University, got my degree in sports medicine. Went on from there to Boston College for my first job. Worked with under Tom O'Brien for the football team as an athletic trainer there. From there, I went on to the New England Patriots as an assistant athletic trainer for a couple years through the 2004-2006. So I was at the Super Bowl down in Jacksonville versus Philadelphia. And then from there, I got the director of rehab position with the Los Angeles Kings. I was out there for 5 years and came back to Boston in 2010, and now I'm working in the private sector. So that's kind of a nutshell.
Joe, talk a little bit about you. Obviously, the Patriots are, you know, huge fans of the Patriots up here in New England, especially of this station that we're on here, 101.3 ESPN, hosts the Patriots and all their games throughout the season. A lot of fans will say to us all the time, you know, if you've we talk to people that are inside with the Pats or beat writers for the Pats, and they want to know what goes on behind the scenes with New England. I mean, Bill Belichick is so tight-lipped. It's like Fort Knox over there in terms of what he gives to the fans as they prep for games. But if you can give, you know, our listeners an idea of what it's like, you know, being behind the scenes with the Patriots, you know, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, you were there through a Super Bowl year, and obviously the Patriots right now are one game away. Talk a little bit about what you experienced while you were with the Pats.
Sure, you know, working for the Patriots, I'm fortunate it was my first professional experience because I do feel like it was the best. From what I could tell, you know, our head trainer, Jim Whelan, he came from Tampa Bay. Joe Van Allen, the assistant, he had been there previously since 2001. The team is really run like a business. It truly is a business. You don't really feel like you're part of a sports organization. The closest I can tell from who I talk to, my mentors and such, the New York Yankees or even the Red Sox these days, what happens inside those walls essentially stays inside those walls. And people don't talk about it because they're afraid to talk about it. They don't talk about it because everyone knows that it works. And so when you hear the Patriot way, it's just like this. It's not a recipe, it's a culture. So every single Patriot shows up to work at 7 a.m. and they don't leave until 7 p.m. They have 3 square meals a day. They have 2 lifts, a practice, 2 meetings, 3 meetings. It's just this seamless machine, and everyone has their own job. It's absolutely incredible. You know, Bill Belichick doesn't say a lot on camera, but he says a lot inside those walls, and he knows every single person that works for him. He knows everyone's schedule, everyone's salary. He knows everything. I guess you just got to ask him more questions because it's just an ominous question what goes on inside those walls.
Well, let me ask you this question then. Okay, so, you know, it's run like a business. You talk about the Patriot way. I'll give you a two-sided question. The first one being, is this something that Bob Kraft brought to the table, or would you say this is a Bill Belichick-run business? I guess that'd be the first question.
This is definitely a Bill Belichick business. Robert Kraft is, there's a couple, you know, I've spoken before, there's a couple different kind of owners / general managers, and some are highly visible and some are not. Robert Kraft, although you see him on the practice field, you know, on camera, he's there for maybe 15 minutes. That's when the media is allowed out to practice. So everything you see about the injury reports and, you know, who might be playing and what happens at practice, the media is allowed on a field for 15 minutes and then they leave. So any team can portray whatever picture they want to portray for those 15 minutes. As soon as the media leaves, eight guys come off the field or eight guys go up into the bubble. It's just a complete game, what you see on TV.
So, you know, a lot of Bill Belichick disciples have left the Patriots to be head coaches, coordinators at other places, but have not been able to be able to emulate what goes on in New England. I mean, is Bill Belichick just I use the word a lot with him, a savant, or is it, I mean, what is it about Bill Belichick that makes this Patriot way so special?
You know, you see, like Josh McDaniels was a pretty good example when he went to Denver. It just didn't work out for him. And like you said, it's not about just Bill Belichick. It's about the system that he's built. And it takes so many people to participate in that system. If you go rogue or you go out and you do your own thing, it would take a decade to build that same culture again. It's just not something that can happen overnight. You know, it is Bill Belichick leading it, but it's the entire organization that buys into it that makes it work. And that's why no one head coach, Charlie Weiss failed, you know, Josh McDaniels failed, Romeo failed. It's always going to be that way. You're not going to be able to replicate the Patriot system.
Joe, you talk about, Bill Belichick failed first in Cleveland, and then he comes to, the Patriots and just has a tremendous, obviously, you know, has been able to put it together with all the help from those people. Did you ever pick up or hear anything what the difference was from Cleveland to New England?
I think it was a great quarterback, to be honest with you. You know, you have to build around something, and you'll hear a lot of conversation. You know, Tommy would be the first one to tell you he swears that Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback ever, and he's always respected Peyton Manning. But Tommy works harder than anyone I've ever met in my life. You know, he right down to the inch, you know, you want to say, sports or a game of inches. I mean, he'll put a garbage can on a 60-yard line and stand on the goal line and he'll try to get 5 footballs into that garbage can. And if he misses one, he'll do it again. And he will get 5 footballs into that garbage can. You know, it's just that type of quarterback and leader. And then that resonates all the way down the line to the left and to the right, and you get that same player on both sides of the ball, and it's a system that's tough to beat.
So, Joe, I got one more Patriot question for you, and then I want to venture into your time with the Kings. For the Patriots, you were there for that short span. Who was the most unique character you came across, or what was your favorite memory of being part of that organization?
You know, to be honest with you, my favorite memory, you know, was every day I'd go up into the bubble and I'd throw balls with Tommy. I didn't throw them. I caught them. I dislocated fingers all the time. And, you know, he was just – his work ethic was unbelievable. And, you know, he's one of those – he's like Robert Kraft. He's like Bill Belichick. Tom Brady demands respect, but he gives it back. And that's the key. That's the key to, you know, maintaining respect in life. He doesn't just demand it. He gives it back. And so the time that I spent with Tommy and, you know, David Givens, Deion Branch, Troy Brown, these are all great people. Matt Light, you know, his early years, Vince Wilfork was one of the most mature rookies I've ever seen in my life. They're just all great people, and I think that has a lot to do with how they draft as well. You know, they don't bring in bad people, so they know from the get-go, you know, they're ahead of the game.
We are talking to Joe Caligiuri, founder of Stadium Performance and former assistant trainer for the Patriots back in 2004 when they went to the Super Bowl, getting some background information on the Pats. All right, Joe, you know, the Patriots are a game away from the Super Bowl. You know, Patriot fans all over the place are excited about this opportunity against Pittsburgh and a chance to win another championship. Let's talk a little about what it's like as the team gets ready for that. What are practices like? What are the players like behind the scenes as they get closer and closer to a Super Bowl? Because you were part of a team that won one in 2004.
Absolutely. It's just an absolute, you know, you want to talk about focus during the week, during the regular season, it's absolutely more focused now. You know, they spend 10 hours a day in the regular season. Now they're spending 12 hours a day in that stadium. Everything's a system. You know, they're in there 3 square meals. They got 2 meetings, 2 lifts, and it's just extreme focus. Everyone has their own job right now. The trainers, the equipment staff, coaches, you know, coaches get it there about 3 a.m. They leave about midnight. Some of them stay there all night, you know. Coordinators are definitely there at 3, 4 a.m. You know, everyone eats right the night before a home game. Everyone sits, you know, goes to the hotel. You have your meetings. The hotel is right there in Norwood, Mass., so it's right down the street. And, you know, they have their meetings. They have their meals. They have their treatments. They go to bed. They get up. They go to chapel. You know, the NFL in general is very devout in the Christianity. Everyone goes to chapel the day of the game. They hop on the or they take their own cars to a home game, and they're there 4 hours before the game. Everyone has a nice meal. There's a couple things. All the rookies bring Krispy Kreme donuts. and the number one draft pick goes to McDonald's and gets 200 double cheeseburgers.
So maybe that's the key. Win championships by eating 200 double cheeseburgers. That's not a bad idea.
I'm pretty sure the league thing. I don't know.
Let me tell you something, Joe.
Krispy Kreme.
I'm gonna tell you something. You're gonna have people lining up at our McDonald's here in the Chittenden County area getting cheeseburgers now because of that word right there. We're thinking that's like that reminds me of the Jim Belushi. Remember the Jim Belushi little chocolate donut skit on Saturday Night Live back in the day? Like the Patriots eat double cheeseburgers. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think every Saturday in the NFL is Krispy Kreme Day. It'd be 20 dozen Krispy Kremes, and then game day is two double cheeseburgers in everyone's locker.
That is unbelievable. All right, I know Bernie's chomping at the bit to talk about the L.A. Kings experience, but I always ask guys like you that have been around elite teams, elite athletes, give us a story or a player or something that happened when you were at the Patriots that nobody else would know about in terms of players.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh, he's speechless. I'm just mean, Joe, something like give me a story, like, you know, you and Tom Brady had a moment or you and Will Fork had a moment. Something that happened behind the scenes that kind of gives us an idea of what their personalities are like.
Well, how about this? How about Tom Brady comes back from Vegas without his wallet one time, and we say, Tommy, what happened? He says, well, I was playing poker with Vin Diesel and 50 Cent, and then there's a very extensive story after that, which I won't share on the radio.
Oh, bummer.
Long story short, the wallet showed back up at Gillette Stadium with the money inside it. So it just goes to show that someone found Tom Brady's wallet with a couple grand in it, and they mailed it back.
Wow.
Wow.
Good for that person,
yeah,
whoever
exactly.
did it.
Good exactly. for him is absolutely right. All right, Brady, go ahead.
So, Joe, now you have your stint with the Patriots. You go out to the Kings, and you're doing the rehab assignment out there with all their players. I've heard, along the way that the guys who have the healthy scratches, like in the playoffs, their workouts are more grueling than the playoff game in and of itself. Is that fact? And if that's true, what would that workout entail?
Sure. So what happens is when a player is scratched for whatever reason, what happens is they go into the training room and they hop on a bike and they'll watch the game in front of them and they'll mimic the shifts on the bike. So they'll mimic the first line at their position. If a left winger is scratched and then the first line left winger is on the ice, they would sprint on the bike while the left winger is on the ice. And so they end up doing 28, 30 shifts for 45-second sprints on the bike during the game.
Jeez. Joe, let me ask. That's crazy. That's unbelievable. But you must – was there kind of a learning curve for you because you're transitioning from professional football to the NHL? Was there a – is it a different type of training you're doing with these guys?
Yeah, it was a huge learning curve. When I got to the NHL, I knew hockey, but obviously there's a lot more to know at the professional level. And Mark Crawford was the coach, Dean Lombardi was the GM, and they actually made me be the video coordinator for 3 months. So my first 3 months with the LA Kings, during the game, I was in the locker room tagging the game as it went. So when they came in between periods, they can reduce certain plays and things like that. So getting to know the game inside out for the first 3 months and then working with the players, which the hockey players are definitely the toughest athletes in the world. It was a fantastic experience just to get to know the game, get to know the culture, get to know the people, everything. It was unbelievable.
And, Joe, you had a little Vermont connection. Aaron Miller, I think, was with the Kings at the time you were there. Is that correct?
Yeah, he came from Colorado, I believe, my first year. He was there for a couple of years, and he's a fantastic individual. I know I was at a Celtics game last week, and I saw him down on courtside seats, and I shot him a text. He came up, walked up 10 rows, and we chatted it up. He's doing great. He's a great, great person.
Joe, we only have a couple minutes left. What's going on now? Talk about Stadium Performance. You're the founder of this new company. What are you guys doing now?
Sure. So we're in Dedham, Massachusetts. It's called Stadium Performance. And we take kids that are committed or being recruited to college, and we prepare them for college, not just physically, but academically, intellectually. Everything about college we prepare them for. So we have people that tutor them, that work on their nutrition, that teach them how to interview, how to email, how to handshake, everything about their life so they'll get to college with no excuses. We have, we represent over 100 colleges, 25 pro teams, Olympic teams. It's just a fantastic thing.
Joe Caligiuri, Vermont native and maybe the most interesting man in the world. Joe, thanks so much for the time, buddy. It was awesome to talk to you, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
You got it.
Thank you,
buddy.
Joe.
Have a great day. Interesting stuff.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
God.
You know,
unbelievable.
We've talked to Larry Hare, who's the, you know, he works with the Kansas Jayhawks and all their sports programs. We're talking to a guy like Joe Caligiuri, Vermont native. Really, I mean, think about that. You know, graduates from Castleton, ends up at Boston College, ends up with the Patriots, wins a Super Bowl with the Patriots, goes to the Kings, works with, I mean, I think he won a Stanley Cup with the Kings, and now he's got his own company doing, he worked with, we didn't get into the USA hockey thing, he was working with the U.S. hockey team for a while too, so just great insight, and I think it's pretty interesting, you get these background stories about these professional athletes, Bern.
Yeah, you know, what he's doing in the background is tremendous, and you know, I want to get him back to talk a little more about U.S. hockey, and especially what he's doing now, because that sounds very intriguing in terms of prepping, you know, student athletes' potential for college and professional careers.
And how many guys do you know that have fractured fingers from catching Tom Brady's balls? Pretty crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, can you imagine being out, going out and Tom Brady's warming up? There you guys go again. Typical. Tom Brady's warming up and he asks you to go catch with him. That's pretty cool.
Oh, my God.
Pretty amazing. And I think
who would say no to that?
Nobody would say no to
that. Exactly.
But yeah, but just imagine me and he's like, yeah, just throw it, no problem. And you're snapping fingers. You got dislocated fingers. Ow, knock it a little softer there, Joe. All right, we're going to come back and talk to the head coach, talk football. Our Vermont professional football team starts in a month and a half. The head coach of the Vermont Bucks, Mr. Irvin Bryson, is going to be in studio.
Saturday.
Thanks for bringing that up, Dave. That's a good point. You are on fire today.
On 101.3.
Just sit back and react.
ESPN.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki, Dave Hunter on the board. Interesting conversation with Joe Caligiuri, huh?
Unbelievable.
Vermont kid making it big. Yeah. Pretty neat. And I'll tell you something else. You know, if you listen to the story, and again, we have to have Joe back, Bern, because, you know, I mean, it'd be important. And I think this guy next to me here would be interested in talking to Joe. Might get him, you know, maybe get him to come in and do some training with the guys.
Why not?
We are very lucky to have in studio right now the head coach of Vermont's first professional football team, Irvin Bryson of the Bucks.
What's up, guy?
Coach, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm loving it, man. It's like tick-tock, tick-tock. The clock is rolling very slow. I'm very excited. The roster's pretty much full. Man, the ball players we're conversating every day, especially my quarterback.
Yeah.
Man, I can't wait to get Stefan in here, man, and throwing that ball around, showing some good leadership in the community with the team. Oh, man, I'm just pumped.
Well, let me ask you this, because this, I mean, Bernie and I were talking before you came in, and it's I feel like we were just talking about, like, the birth of this whole thing less than a year ago. I mean, for you, it's probably much more than a year, but for Bernie and I, and when this first kind of came to the public's, you know, attention, it was like, this is going to happen in a year, and now we literally are a month and a half away. So, Coach, listen, you come from South Carolina,
right?
You come to Vermont, which is all, you know, the weather's different, everything's different. You've had to change your life to get up here.
Yep.
You are now the face of a franchise, essentially, mm-hmm. and you're bringing in all these guys. Talk a little bit about, before we get into the players and all that stuff,
okay.
I want to know what it's been like for you going from being a coach in South Carolina to now all of a sudden you're the head coach of a pro team in Vermont. What's been going on with you?
It's been like a major transformation.
Yeah.
It's the best thing, best word to use for it. Coming here in the beginning, man, it was tough making an adjustment from South Carolina to Vermont, getting to know the people here and everything, and feeling like more like an outsider, you know. And now I feel like I'm a Vermonter, you know. And the people have really, really embraced me. They have really welcomed me to the community. It made my transition a lot smoother. You know, at first, I thought it was going to be really tough. I was talking to the wife every day, man. She was like, baby, hang in there. You know, everything's going to be all right, you know. She's trying to motivate me. I can't wait till you guys meet her when she come up for March. And only that is my 6-year wedding anniversary on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh!
Nice.
Yes. Oh, so wait a minute. That's someday. So first home game and your wedding anniversary.
Yeah, my anniversary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been really, really awesome, man. And it's been a blessing, man. To see this thing from the beginning where it was like doors were shut and people were like, I want to wait and see how it goes,
sure.
you know? And nobody really wanted to come over the fence. But now, I mean, the phone calls we're getting now with people wanting to get involved, the community things that we're doing.
Well, I want to say that because one of the things that I'm very impressed with about you, Coach, is that – you have really jumped into our community.
Right.
I mean, and again, we were, Bernie and I, you and I were talking about the infancy of this whole program,
right.
but you have been in the, as soon as you got here,
right.
if you haven't liked the Bucks on Facebook yet, do that. And we'll
right.
talk about how people
right.
can follow you guys, mm-hmm. but where you got, where you personally are, football teams, youth groups, youth football teams,
right.
college football teams, high school football teams, it's almost as if you have really inundated yourself in the community, which says so much about who you are, coach,
right.
and what you want to do
I
here.
Appreciate that. And the thing is, the thing I try to tell Tim, when you're going into a new community like this, it's not so much that you want to put the shove the football and the sponsorship down their people's throat.
Right.
You
got to
let them see what this thing really is all about. If the community is not involved, it's not going to be successful. You can waste a lot of money throwing into this thing, trying to make it work, but it has to make sense to the community. And once the community gets behind it, then it becomes successful. And that's why I felt like that people really need to get to know me, see who I am, and see what I bring to the table coming into this new community. You know, I'm an outsider coming to the inside trying to fit in. So it's very important that these people see that I am sincere 100% who I am. You know, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And so far, I'm just thankful that Tim have gave me that free reign.
And you say Tim
Behan's
the owner of the
yes,
team.
Yep, yeah. Yep. And me and Tim is full circle. Think about it. This guy kicked for me, you know, back in 2006.
Yeah.
And Tim said the craziest thing to me back in 2006. He said, Coach, I think that this can go back. This can work back in my hometown. I mean, this is 2006. Tim had a vision to put the team here. And look at it now, man. We're about to get on the turf here in about another month.
All right. So you've recruited, picked this team. Okay.
Right.
Talk about that process and how
okay.
daunting that's got to be with you being stuck up here in Burlington, Vermont,
right.
essentially.
One of my big things is I had to start at the quarterback.
Yeah.
I had to get a quarterback that represents me, you know, who has that same philosophy, that same mentality, that hunger, that drive, that willing to get it done. I could just look at that kid and he can come to me and say, he called the play before I even called the play.
Right.
You know, and Stephen Colon is one of the quarterbacks that we come. He played at, Steph played at Glenville State College, about 6'3", about 220. Knows the game very well. Can coach on the field. And I'm looking so forward to him coming into camp, taking charge, not only on the football field, but in the community. This guy is a community-oriented guy. And those are the kind of guys I want on my team, you know, because these are the guys that's going to be out in the community. At running back, we got in. I really had to get that running back. I'm having my running back to kind of lose a little bit of weight because he is 260. But,
wow.
man, I'll tell you something, man. This kid has zero body fat. So I want
like
him.
Bernie. So it's not like Bernie.
Yeah. So I'm trying to – I'm hoping that I can get this kid down to probably about 240. And it's going to be really tough, but he's really working on it. But – our strength is going to be in our offensive line. Our offensive line, we just signed a center this past weekend at the Combine, and they had about 80 kids there. We signed only one. The other teams that were there, they signed about 30 guys.
See, I wish you were. I wish he had the Giants. I wish the Giants had his mentality. But hey, listen, if you want to ask Coach a question, give us a call, 655-6672, 802-655-6672 is the number to call to ask Coach Bryson of the Bucks a question.
So, yeah. Coach, you know, just as we get going and you know, when is the first practice and how is that, like, regiment day in and day out going to be for yourself and the team members?
Man, I'm so looking forward to this thing. I got it all drawn up on the board. Got it typed up on in the computer and everything. And, we're going to have two dead days, February 28th and March the 1st. Ball players come in, check in the hotel. We do physicals. March 1st, we're going to hit the field down in Sheboygan.
So you got 2 weeks to get ready for your first game.
Yeah, I got 2 weeks to get ready for the first game.
Wow.
So, but the thing is, this is the cool part about it, right? All the receivers and the quarterback knows my offense already.
Wow. Well, yeah. that's important.
Yeah, that's very important. So we're going to be ahead already.
Is that because you've worked with them before or because you've given them the book?
I've given them the book beforehand. So when they come in here, they better be on their game.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have no time to waste.
Did you tell them that you were coming on and to listen and you can get that message across?
Hey, my quarterback's listening right now.
Okay.
So let me ask. So we're going forward now. So you – their expectation is what? Are we trying to win a championship this year? I mean, what is the goal of the Bucks? I mean, I want to get more into the players, so I'm hoping you stay a little bit longer than what we have slotted for. But what is the goal of the Bucks this season? Are you going? I mean, the first thing you say to your team is,
"Hey, we're going to win the ship," and the only reason why we're in here is to win the championship. if you want to go to the next level, you got to take your step number one first. We got to win here. If we don't win, nobody comes look at you, you know? So if we're winning, we're putting up points. I'm not points. I'm talking about 70, 80 points.
Right.
We're getting attention of a lot of people. You win by, you know, 10, 15 points, it's okay. But, you know, if you putting your foot on the throat, you know, you putting the numbers up there, people coming to Vermont and say, okay, what are those guys doing? I want the GM for the Giants. I want the GM for the Jets. I want the GM for the Redskins to say, look, we want to get that kid up there in Vermont, you know, to come in and play for us. Because of the system that we have, these kids don't have time for nothing. 5 o'clock, we in the weight room. 7:30, we eating breakfast. 9 o'clock, we on the practice field. 3:30, we back at Synergy and for our spin class. At 7 o'clock, we got film session. 9 o'clock, we got film again. And then 12 o'clock, lights out. 5 o'clock is all back over, starts back over again.
You know what's interesting about this whole conversation to me is that these are hungry kids.
Yes.
That's what's going to be fun about this is all these guys, their goal is the NFL, correct?
Man, I'm telling you, once you hear these guys' story, man, it'll blow you away. I get chills listening to these guys. Guy had to leave college because he got to raise his brother and his sister. You know, he's still hungry for football, but he's working three different jobs, you know, to try to take care of the family. But at the same time, coach, I'm training every day. I beg you, please give me another opportunity to just get on the field. I mean, the receiver's 6'4". I mean, he runs a 4.340. Wow. How are you going to stop that with a 10-yard running start? So it's my responsibility to give this kid what he needs in order to get himself to the next level now because he's trusting his career in my hand.
What do you know about these other teams you're going to play? I mean, it's got to be a little difficult if you don't. I mean, you got scouting wise. I mean, will you have guys that are traveling to watch these teams? I mean, how do you prep for these other teams?
What it is, some of the guys I have film already on these guys. Yeah. I know their background. I know what they're all about, and I studied them first.
Yeah.
And once I studied them, I know how they think. And one of the advantage we have is that I know the rules better than any other coaches in the league. So everybody's calling me for info on how we do this, how we do that. So I'm really going to take advantage of that because there are some things in the rule book they know nothing about that I know I'm going to use to our advantage, especially when you kick a field goal. You kick a field goal, they have to line up in a field goal formation. That means big guys come in on offense, little guys go on defense. So I'm not going to put a kicker back there. I'm going to put my 260 running back as the kicker and an offensive lineman as the fullback. And I'm going to run the ball down their throat. You know?
That's awesome.
So you're excited, obviously, about the quarterback.
Right.
This is obviously a scoring league.
Yes.
So give us other names of some other players and where they're from and who we can expect to see.
Okay. We got Jordan Schnurlin, wide receiver, 6'3", 215 from Furman. Was an all-conference wide receiver coming out of Furman. Hold all the records there. Very fast, very talented, very athletic kid. Very humble kid. He had four different offensive receiver coaches throughout his career there. Ugh. So coach told me when I talked to coach down, they say, this kid is so awesome. But the fact that he had to adjust for 4 years and he really got overlooked in NFL. So if he got overlooked in NFL, I feel like we would get him opportunity because he's going to get some real good coaching here. Let's go over the defense. You look at a defensive back we got from Clemson University, C.J. Jones. Very talented, 5'11", 185, runs a 4.440, very smart, very talented, you know, and he's been bragging all over Facebook because of the fact we just won a national championship. He's very happy about that. And then you look at Jeff Ward. Now, Jeff Ward is a kid at defensive back who's very talented, very cocky, has that swagger that my defensive coordinator likes. He loves that swag that he has. And this kid has broke film down inside out, which I love. You know, guys that spend time in the film room, I love those guys. Because you can win a lot of games before you get on the field because of the fact that you break film. I talked to Patrick Pass this past weekend to play with the Patriots and won 2 Super Bowls. He said one of the biggest things that we had, advantage we had on everybody playing them that Bill knew when everybody's going to run, when they're going to pass based upon how the offensive defensive lineman how the offensive lineman put their hand down the ground, or whether it was back up in the 2-point stance, you know?
Huh.
So we got tendencies like that that we figure out that will help us out in determining what the other team's going to be doing.
Coach Bryson, Vermont Bucks, you stay another segment?
Yeah, man, yeah, I love it.
655-6672. Call us right now. Get your questions ready. We got your head coach of the Vermont Bucks. Hang in. We'll be right back.
Allow me to reintroduce
host myself.
You found Burlington and Plattsburgh's sports leader.
What is the name of this network again?
101.3 ESPN.
Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki with me today, Dave Hunter, and in studio, the head coach of the Vermont Bucks, Mr. Irvin Bryson. Coach, man, it's good to have you in here, buddy.
Man, I love being here.
I have to tell you, you guys have me belly laughing in here. I want to videotape you doing what you just did. So when I need to have a better day, I can take a look at that.
Hey, but the thing about it, when I come in here, I always have a great time. That's why I love coming in the studio versus calling in on the phone.
Yeah,
you guys make me have a good.
You're always welcome here, my friend. Yeah. There's a lot to talk about with you, and we only have a small time here in this segment, but let's talk about tickets. We were talking off air a little bit. You know, you're selling tickets right now.
Right.
What's going on with that?
You know, what it is, if you're interested in getting tickets, go online. You can go on our VermontBucks.com, click on tickets, and it'll take you to the college. What is it?
UVM.
UVM. Wow. They'll take you to UVM. You guys got me kicked up. I got to get myself back together. Hey, hanging in here in the studio with these guys is off the chart. And go to UVM and go online, click on tickets, and it'll take you to the page where you can pick your seats out and get tickets. It's very important that we have a sellout crowd that first game. We really want to pack. We got a lot of activity going on. And if we pack that stadium that first game, we want to send a message, you know, to Arena Ball, period, that this team in Vermont is something special to see. And we want the fans to come in that ball in the stadium and pack it out. We got some things going on. We want you to be loud, raising sand, making all kind of noise. Not only that, I want you dancing. Dancing, having a good time.
Perfect, Bernie. That's there. That's all you need.
You just got to get me and my girl Rose Bedard to do some dancing, and we'll be all right.
Okay. Hey, but Rose got it going on.
So we had Rose on a couple weeks ago. Dave Hunter got Rose to come on the show. We talked to her. She's got a whole dance team coming.
Man, that girl got so much energy. She's perfect for the job.
Yeah.
She's the opposite of me. Right, except she's coaching the dance team. Right. So those girls gonna really be throwing down. I got to tell the ball players, look, stay focused, stay focused, stay focused.
You've been hanging out with Dave too much.
Hey, too much.
Hey, I'm just saying, man. Hey, man.
Yeah. I know.
But season tickets are on sale now, so get your season tickets. Not only that, game day tickets on sale. So our ultimate goal, and I put a challenge out to you fans. I'm gonna be checking these tickets. I want to see 2,000 tickets sold by the end of this month.
How reasonable are the tickets? So, a family wants to bring their kids.
We're talking $15, and we're talking $22, $24, $25. You know, very affordable.
Beautiful.
You know,
beautiful.
So, man, come to the game. Look, after the ball game, you got your kids. I promise you, a kid will not leave the stadium without a football player signing that whatever they have to sign.
And I will say this: if you do, I believe you.
Yeah,
I mean, I have to say, and again, I've been able to know Coach for a little while now. I mean, you really are community oriented. That's really your goal.
Yep. Exactly.
I mean, but do you feel the? I mean, listen, and again, this has happened so quickly. I mean, you've been in football for a long time. Have you ever seen an organization come together like this so quickly and be ready to rock and roll as quickly as it has to?
I've never seen nothing like it. But I'm thank God for my experience that we're actually a few steps ahead, you know. So we stay on the course that we're on, stay focused, don't lose, don't get off track. On or off the field, we're going to be okay. We already have put the first game timeline together already. And we've been practicing it. We've been going over it. You know, even though I'm going to be coaching on the football field, I'm going to make sure, okay, we got to make sure that's right. This is right. That's right. That's right. And, man, we're doing a good job. And with the intern students that we have are off the chart. I love those guys. Guys and ladies, they're doing a great job. And I say to them, stay focused. Let's finish the run down the stretch till we play that first ball game.
So – hey, we have to do SportsCenter real quick. You want to stay one more second?
Man, please.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
All right, listen, 655-6672. If you want to ask your questions about the Vermont Bucks, we're going to keep Coach Bryson here one more segment. But that music means that Dave and his nice glasses have to do SportsCenter. This is going to be interesting. We'll be right back.
WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.
Hey, this is Sam Hyman, the voice of the UVM basketball team, and you're listening to the home of the Catamounts on 101.3 ESPN. Go Cats.
The line of Matt Avero, Ross Goldman, Mario Puskarich. combined for 3 goals, 5 assists, and Alvaro's second goal of the night helped lift the 12th-ranked UVM men's hockey team to a scintillating 5-4 win over UConn last night at the Gut. UVM improved to 16-7-2 overall, 8-4-1 in Hockey East. The win also helped the Cats take over sole possession of third place in the league. UVM women's hockey goalie Melissa Black tied a season high with 38 saves, and Boston College McKenna Newkirk scored 39 seconds into overtime, leading the 6th-ranked Eagles past the Cats 3-2 yesterday at Gutterson. With the loss, the Catamounts fall to 10-8-7 overall and 6-4-5 in Hockey East play. UVM and BC go at it again this afternoon. Puck drops at the Gut, 2 o'clock. I'm David Hunter, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Hour number 2, Sports Saturday. Jeff, Paul, and Urban standing by. And Bernie.
Sports Saturday.
I mean, so good. It's a good chili. In fact, Bernie, maybe I'll bring you a cup sometime.
I would love it.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
I got you in there,
Bernie. Oh,
Bernie.
I love this. This is so good. I have to say this. Really? I finally feel like I'm at the big kid table now because he just threw you under the bus. Now I'm the cool guy.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, and you have him you have David so discombobulated. There's no music playing. He is all confused. I can't believe I just offended my boy Bernie.
Wow.
Ah, this is gold for me.
Wow.
I love this. By the way, Bernie, before we get going with Coach, I have an apology to make to you.
Why?
Well, we have a mutual friend
into. Before we start, don't you think Dave, should apologize to me?
No, not at all.
He just gave me the second
not
hour
at all.
Off.
No. I deserve that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
How about an apology to me for picking on my bald head or picking on the fact that I'm short? We haven't done that yet
because you're wearing a hat.
First of all, that's why
Urban,
I'm wearing a hat.
I was not picking on his bald head.
Coach,
listen, let you know.
I don't normally wear hats in here, but I've been wearing them lately because I've been taking such abuse from these cats.
Right,
thank you.
He would stand up in the glare from the light. He'd be blinded.
I gotta have him around me more often.
Oh man, come on, guys.
Coach is a big guy, so now he's like, "Hey, they're all no, we're not doing anything. What are you talking about?
Us bald head guys,
you gotta stick together.
You gotta stick together.
Exactly.
You got
to.
We're family.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
We got that smooth landing.
Oh God, you're cracking me up. Hey, so we have a mutual friend.
Yes.
And last week, I went over to at McGillicuddy's to watch the football game where ESPN was last week.
Yeah.
And she said to me, "Jeff, I have to say to you, we love the show, but you talk over Bernie all the time. And I think Bernie feels bad about that." And I said, do you think I do that really?
No.
So
I don't. Wait a second. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I wanted to publicly say I apologize to all the listeners out there that really just want to hear Bernie. Because, Coach, I don't know if you know this, but Bernie has his own sandwich. He has a sandwich named after him.
Oh, yeah?
He's
a
big deal. This is a very big deal right here.
Yeah, the Spooky sandwich.
What's on it?
What we got? Turkey?
Okay.
Bacon?
Yep.
What else we got on that, Bern?
A little cheese and lettuce.
Yeah, just a little.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty simple.
And any add-ons you want. But the turkey and the bacon are the staples.
That's my sandwich.
There you go.
You got the Spooky.
So next time, no matter where I go, I can say I want the Bernie sandwich.
The Spooky sandwich. Anywhere you want. Go to somebody's house. You can walk this when you leave here. Go pick a house down the road. Okay. Knock on it.
Don't do that.
Make me a Spooky sandwich.
Your shoes there?
I'm sorry?
Shaving cream there? Right? Got a pair of pants, shirt there? Boy, you got a lot of houses.
What house, man? What house?
Whose house? Burns house.
All right, Coach. Listen, so the roster is now set. We've been talking about it. Now, you were just talking off air also about an athlete that's still in college.
Right.
And what's trying to talk about what's going on.
Yeah,
there.
Jamie Holbrook. Jamie is very talented. We just did that commercial with him with Heritage Ford. And one of the biggest concerns we have about Jamie is he's still in school, which is a great thing. He's getting ready to graduate. He has to do his internship as a student teacher. And so we're trying to work things out where we get him taken care of because of the fact that Jamie have worked. If you ever go to his Instagram, you see him working out, lifting weights. Man, the guy's a beast, So we're hoping we get everything worked out so that he can be here to entertain his local fans because he did go to school here in this area. So a lot of people have been talking about him, and I'm just hoping we get the small details worked out that he definitely can be on the field.
So, Coach, now shifting back to a little bit more football talk, you talk about you want to score and you want to put the, right. the,
the foot on the throat. You know, conversely, then you want to do that. But now defensively, with all these, you know, the ability for the wide receiver to run, you know, before the ball is snapped and stuff like that. What do you do to try to slow down a high powered offense or try to contain? What are some without giving too many of your secrets away? What do you try
to do? The defensive coordinator of our team holds the record for the least amount of yards and points given up in an indoor football game.
So just watch and learn.
Yeah. He's very. I'm not bragging too much, but he's my little brother. You know, and we've been together now for about 10 years. And the studying that we put in to prepare for a lot of teams and shut them down is crazy. We do a lot of zone disguise. And a lot of times, you know, if number 15 covers a flat and he leaves that flat area, you automatically gonna think that nobody's covering that area. Well, we have somebody else replacing him, you know. And that's what you call a lot of disguise. And we do a lot of disguising. So we're going to take advantage of the rules again defensively and like we're doing offense, and we're going to shut some people down, man. We really are. I think the guys that we got defensive are very talented, and it's going to allow us to be able to do a lot of scheming on defense because we can go number to number with these guys. They're so fast. They're so long. They're so athletic. So it's going to allow us to do a lot of different things.
What is the number one thing you look for on the defensive side of the ball from whoever is going to play what position for you to fill a roster spot?
Knowledge. Most guys are not coachable on defense. They think that I'm the man, I can get the job done, just put me in there and let me go with the guy one-on-one. In arena football, it's not about that. You can play one-on-one and you get a guy running start, man, it's going to be hard to defend that guy, you know? So you got to understand that this is what this game it's all about. And then once you learn the arena game itself, then you're able to do whatever you need to do to stop or gain an advantage on somebody. So that's the part. I look for knowledge more than anything, because if I give you knowledge, you would know how to shut somebody down. Well, without that knowledge and all that ability, you're lost.
Coach, what was more difficult, putting a team together or putting a coaching staff together?
Putting a team together. I already had in my mind who was going to be the coach. I got a offensive line coach who's going to be coming in from California, and this guy is fireball with knowledge. He wants to be a head coach someday, and he wanted to come here and learn under me. So I welcome that. So I like the fact that three of the coaches can be a head coach. So I'm never going to end practice myself every day. I don't believe in that. I believe in the water boy, the trainer, the assistant coaches. Each day a different coach in practice. And the reason why is because they get so used to hearing the head coach's voice. And sometimes they can tone you out. I don't worry about them doing me like that, but I want everybody on the organization to feel very important. So I give them that responsibility to close practice or start practice. You know, not always information that we need to do comes from me. It comes from them as well, because they need to look at every coach, everybody on my staff, just like I'm talking. When they speak, I'm talking, you know, and they get that respect. That's all I want. All the guys always respecting everybody on our staff.
Would you call yourself, and again, I don't even know if this is a good question, but, you know, Tom Coughlin is always known as a, you know, he's not a player's coach, but then you look at a Rex Ryan and he's more looked at as a player's coach.
Right.
How would you say your coaching style is closer more to Tom Coughlin, which I guess would be extreme end, or Rex Ryan, which would be more
loose? It's a mix.
Yeah.
It's a mix, man. That's a good question. It's a mix, because a lot of guys love my brother. Some guys sometimes hate me because I'm a stickler for the rules. And the reason why I'm a stickler for the rules is, think about this. The reason why they're here playing on this level, something happened in their career. They didn't do it right. So I know how you need to do it to get it right. So I'm going to get you on track so you can do things right so you can get to the next level. And sometimes it's just not nice. So you didn't go to bed like you're supposed to. Now you're real tired. Lesson learned from me. I was playing ball. I went out with the head coach. The head coach said, let me buy you a drink. I told him I don't drink. He said, well, sit with me and watch this. He bought the whole team drinks. The guys were there just drinking up. And he was telling me everything about this guy and that guy right there. And then at the end of the night, he called the guys over and said, we got to practice 6 a.m. in the morning. We just left there by 2 o'clock. Guys got into practice. They were throwing up. Coach cut 6 of those guys. But hey, all because he learned and knew those guys. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, hey, always pay attention. Know who your personnel is.
head coach of the Vermont Bucks, Irvin Bryson, here in studio. 655-6672. If you have any questions, I notice you're wearing the orange color. In
yeah,
the
how do I get one of those?
Oh, hey, there we go. Got us have something for
VermontBucks.com. Click on the store. Click on the store. And get your gear.
And you're a South Carolina guy,
yep.
So I'm assuming you're pretty happy. We talk about Clemson winning the national championship. Does that have anything to do with the colors of the Bucks?
You know what? my crazy owner, I can say this. I can talk trash because he felt very awkward, him and his dad, watching the football game a couple weeks with me. You know, everybody knows I'm a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Yeah.
And
he's a
Dolphin.
Please win tomorrow.
He's a Dolphin fan, right? So Pittsburgh was kicking the Dolphins' butt. So these colors really come from the Dolphins.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, he's not going to tell nobody, but that's really what them colors came from. So so Flipper went back down south with a belly full of lead. You know,
there you go.
Too much steel from up north.
Talk about your Steelers. I mean, to me, I think going to the playoffs, and we'll talk a little NFL with you now. You're watching them every week.
Yes,
you're a big fan.
Yes.
I feel like they've got the best offensive players in the league, but they are not scoring touchdowns. They're going to have to score touchdowns tomorrow. What's going on with that offense?
Well, I tell you what. I guarantee you, this is my prediction. Pittsburgh will beat New England by 10. I'm going to tell you why. It's because of our offense. This is the first time we've had all three ball players healthy at the same time on the field. The biggest weapon that we're going to have this time in the red zone, Ladarius Green. From San Diego. We paid him $21 million. Last time we played them guys, he scored 2 touchdowns. Down in the red zone, he was a problem for them. But guess what? We didn't have Big Ben quarterbacking. We're going to have Big Ben quarterback. We got all three of them guys healthy. And we have and I'm telling you, he's going to be the difference in the red zone. We're going to put up big points this weekend.
But they've had a hard time scoring. I mean, Roethlisberger's been out there for a few weeks now, and I feel like it started against Buffalo in the game where he had a lot of turnovers.
Right.
So, I mean, they had a nice defensive performance last week against Kansas City, hung on to win.
Right.
But do you sense that they're just waiting to explode, or are they still trying to get themselves righted with everybody being healthy?
I tell you what, think about this here. Every Super Bowl we won, we was 10-6, 11-5, 1 year, 8-8, 9-7. You know, we have ugly wins. That is the nature of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ugly, ugly wins always. And I just feel like this here. This is going to be the game. And I hope this – if you look on my Facebook, you'll see Belichick. We on our grounds crew. He has a hat on, beard. He's walking around. Spying, trying to see if you can get some information. You know, you got to see this picture on my Facebook. So we're looking out for anything that might go wrong. Headphone set, balls overflated, underflated.
This is great.
You know,
this is great.
But shoe problem.
How do you contain Tom Brady in that offense?
Well, you got to make Tom uncomfortable. When Tom have had problems, they had problems coming up the middle, making him get outside. He's not an Aaron Rodgers. He don't throw well on a run. His feet work is terrible outside the pocket. But the thing is, Pittsburgh are going to have to get pressure up the middle. They're going to have to get in his face and cause problems with him throwing the ball down the field. Not only that, those defensive back going to have to play up. I know we like to run a lot of zone, a lot of cover 2, cover 3. We need to press those receivers off the ball. If we pressure them, see, not having Gronk really hurt us last time we played. They don't have Gronk this time. So they're going to really lean on the scheme that they're running. I think if we put a lot of pressure on them defensive, on those receivers, I think Tom have a lot of problems.
All right, so you got the Patriots losing by 10 to your Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to the Super Bowl for the AFC. The other game is Green Bay and Atlanta. Aaron Rodgers has been a stud. Bernie and I are going to pick our games later on the show, but who do you got going to the Super Bowl for the AFC side?
Oh, man. If I'm telling you this, if Green Bay, all of their receivers were healthy, I would pick Green Bay. And it's hard to go against the bad man Aaron Rodgers, man. I tell you, this guy is, you know, even though all these receivers being hurt, he always finds time to make something happen. I think Atlanta is going to beat them, I'm saying maybe 30-27.
Well, a couple good
still
games.
Still close. A couple good games.
All right, Coach, we have a couple minutes left with you here. 655-6672, if you have any questions for the Coach, 802-655-6672. Any final words here? Like, for example, you know, tickets now, we can go online, talk about how they can follow the Bucks. Talk about, you know, anything that you think is important for your fans when they start watching these games in another month and a half.
Just follow us on Facebook and now on Facebook, VermontBucks.com. Look at the activities we have going on. We got some things going on in the community where we're going to be showing up. Like today, we're down at the Yankees convention at Yankees down in Essence Junction, the fairground.
Oh, the Champlain
The Sportsman.
Yeah. The Sportsman thing. Yeah, we're down there. We're selling gear down there and trying to only that, Bucky's down there.
Our mascot
is down there. So we just want you guys. My main thing is, you know, for the bottom of my heart, you know, we appreciate all the love everybody's given us to this point. I just ask that, you know, you help us pack that stadium out that first ball game. You know, you only have 4,000 seats, and I want to see 4,000 fans in the ball. In
Coach
stadium.
Irvin Bryson, yep. Head coach of the Vermont Bucks, we are proud to have you in our community. You've been a huge asset to us already. We're excited about it. You brought a lot of joy to the community, and we're looking forward to watching the Bucks this season, buddy. Thanks for coming in with
appreciate
us.
Appreciate you guys, man.
It's good to see you. It's great to see you. Vermont Bucks, Irvin Bryson on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're talking Villanova basketball with the Philly Inquirer's Joe Giuliano. We'll be right back.
Sports tickets.
Hurry, because this deal won't last long.
Only at Applebee's.
101.3 ESPN.
Hour by hour on Saturday, we're mostly cloudy. Isolated light rain or snow showers are possible. High temperatures climb to near 40. Tonight into Sunday, cloudy skies continue with still an outside shot at a few rain or snow showers. Lows fall to near 33. Do be careful of isolated slick spots. On Sunday, we're mostly cloudy and mainly dry. High temperatures a pinch warmer, too. Highs climbing to near 42. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm Chief Meteorologist Sean Parker with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 39 at 101.3 ESPN.
Sports Saturday. Saturday.
Issue your statement and I'll rebuttal.
On my
Are
last...
you done yet? No. Okay.
On 101.3 ESPN.
You know, Bernie, one of the hardest things to do in big-time sports is to repeat as champion. I mean, you know that as a former big-time college athlete yourself. Difficult to do that.
No, because Coach Jay Wright's team was always beating me when he was at Hofstra.
Well, right now in the TikTok Jewelers Guest Hotline, we have beat writer from the Philly Inquirer of the number one team in the nation and defending national champion, Villanova Wildcats, Mr. Joe Giuliano. Joe, good morning, buddy. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Joe.
So I'm assuming that you're at are you at a game right now? I know that Villanova and Providence open tip at noon today. Are you there right now?
I'm at the Wells Fargo Center, standing in the concourse. So you might get a little noisy, but
it's all right.
The reception's good. I trust.
All right, Joe. Yes. Great. Well, let's get right into this. I mean, you've been following this team for a long time now. There's a lot of Villanova fans up here. Raleigh Massimino graduated from Vermont back when they played at Vermont. So we have a lot of fandom up here. In fact, when Raleigh used to coach at Villanova, he'd bring the Cats to Vermont to play at Patrick, which was a big deal back in those days for the fans here in Vermont. But the team wins the national championship last year, I think kind of comes out of nowhere, and they continuously are a very talented team, number one team in the nation. Talk about first the experience of going through that process of winning a championship, especially last year, how intense it was, and how crazy that national championship game was last year.
Well, first let me say that my first and only time in Burlington was following Rolly up there one of those years. So that's,
there you go.
Something I remember being in Burlington. Anyway, the key to last year, I guess, was just Jay always has a saying, you know, what's your goal? He says, our only goal when we start a year is to be the best we can be by the end of the season. And when you win the national championship, I guess you've achieved that goal. But the thing was, as we went through the year, obviously they won the big East regular season at 16-2. They went into the Big East tournament, and Daniel LeChefu, their center, had an ankle injury. So they lost to Seton Hall in the championship game of the tournament, and you're wondering, oh, my God, like, without LeChefu, they probably won't be able to realize their full potential. But Jay Wright gave LeChefu the entire week off from practice before the first NCAA game, and it turned out to be wondrous. I mean, Daniel became 100%. And if you're going to play your six best games of the season with – consistency and great shooting, and if the one game you don't have great shooting, which is the game against Kansas, you play lockdown defense, then you're gonna win those six games, and it just happened to lead to a national championship. It was pretty amazing when you had a day-to-day look at it like I did.
Joe, talk about the atmosphere. They win the national championship, the shot goes in, it's just, I mean, chaos. I mean, talk about what that's like to be in the middle of something like that.
Well, when you're a writer for a daily newspaper, the first thing you think of is, "Oh my God, it's 11:30 Eastern time, and I gotta write what I just saw as fast as I can." I'll tell you, it took a while to process it because, you know, I've seen Jenkins hit that shot many, many times before, but when you do it in front of 75,000 people and like 30 million watching on TV for like the biggest prize in NCAA basketball. And you think about the historic nature of the shot. I mean, I was at the Spectrum in 1992 when Leitner hit the shot against Kentucky. And you're thinking, man, this is wow, this is unbelievable. Oh, my God, I better start writing or I'm going to be relegated to JV high school basketball if I don't get this in. So, you know, it was just fascinating. You know, and I've watched the replay so much. In fact, I watched the replay like the other day. That's how much of an impact it's had, just being part of being able to watch the one of the greatest moments in the NCAA basketball tournament in person. It's unbelievable. And I thought I might have seen, like, the greatest shot ever when Marcus Paige hit the shot before Jenkins hit his, that double-clutch, you know, throw-it-up three-pointer that went in that just moved UNC into a tie. And you're thinking, man, if this goes overtime, the Wildcats don't have a chance. So they ended it in regulation.
Joe, you know, you've been following Villanova for a while, and talk about the transition of the Big East. You know, you have the teams, you know, the Syracuse, the rivalries, all the good stuff, the original Big Monday on ESPN, and now, you know, the Big East gets torn apart, and, you know, there's still high-quality basketball, but it's just not the same name brand. Talk about the differences that you've seen over the past few years.
Well, I'm in agreement with Jay Wright. When the Big East fell apart and they had to be rebuilt, it was really a sad day in Jay's life because he loved all those old rivalries, and I loved covering them. I mean, you know, Villanova-Syracuse, Villanova-Pitt, Villanova-Louisville, you know, those were great games. Villanova-Notre Dame, Mike Bray started his coaching career at the University of Delaware. We covered Drexel, Delaware every year. Mike was like the greatest guy to deal with, and he never changed no matter how high he got up in the coaching hierarchy. But, yeah, I missed it. And, you know, thankfully, you know, seven teams from that Big East stayed together, and they brought in Butler, Xavier, and Marquette. And, Butler, Marquette, and Creighton. And, you know, it turned out to be just a great time for basketball, and Big East basketball. And the fact that they had the member win the national championship last year just added so much to the credibility of the league. And, you know, this year they've, you know, picked up where they left off. You know, maybe they're not as deep as the ACC, but, you know, the basketball played in this league has been pretty good.
Joe, the Big East obviously is not, I guess, name recognition isn't the same. And we talk about this a lot here because, you know, there's some, being in the Northeast, there's a lot of great old rivalries that you look forward to every year. But do you think that's why, because the Big East right now doesn't have the name notoriety, that Villanova keeps flying under the radar? I mean, to me, they're the defense. If this was Duke or North Carolina that had just won a national championship and was number one in the country, they'd be all over the place. But Villanova still seems to fly under the radar. Do you think that has something to do with it?
Well, there's a number of reasons for it. And I guess one of the reasons may be because the Big East isn't on ESPN. You know, a lot more people watch SportsCenter than watch the Fox Sports equivalent of SportsCenter, and I don't know. I don't want to accuse ESPN of downplaying a team that they don't have TV rights to, but it just seems that you don't hear a lot about it, and so that could be an issue. I mean, the other issue is the fact that you know, this was quite a magnificent run last year, but they lost two key ingredients in Ryan Arcidiacono and Daniel Eshefu, and maybe people weren't expecting them to do the same thing. I honestly don't know. Our columnist wrote a piece in today's newspaper asking, why is Villanova flying under the radar? And whenever he asks Jay Wright that question, he says, hey, we're not flying under the radar at all. The requests are coming in all the time for interviews and TV pieces, and, you know, the local media treats us great, and, you know, so he has no complaints about it. But then again, he's also a coach who says, yeah, I hope the Eagles go a long way in the postseason. That way, you know, people still aren't paying too much attention to us. Because once the Eagles stop, then everybody will start talking to us. And of course, the Eagles had a lousy year. So let's hitch our wagon to Villanova, everybody's saying.
Joe, you know, we've had the privilege to see Coach Jay Wright up here when, you know, the Hofstra was in the same conference with Vermont, and then, you know, he goes to Villanova, and you still see that fire, you know, from him going after officials the other day, and his players have to hold him back. What makes Jay Wright so special as a coach, and his ability to sustain and not become stale at a great institution like Villanova?
Well, the way we look at it in the media is just three words. He gets it. He gets it. He understands the role of college basketball, college athletics. He understands what it is to deal with the media. He understands how to deal with the university and the administration. He's just out there, and he's just very, you know, when he's on the sideline, he tends to get a little crazy, but, you know, he's a basketball coach, and, you know, he's looking for perfection, not only from his players, but for the guys with the guys in the striped shirts as well. But, you know, when I went to the Final Four, and, you know, I saw my friends there, and it was like they all walk up to me and say, "Is Jay Wright always like this?" And I'd say, "Well, yeah. You know, he gives you what you need. You know, like when he's got time with the media, he gives the media, you know, all the time it needs before he goes on to his next task. And, you know, we certainly appreciate it. I mean, the fans see, you know, how good a coach he is by how successful his team is. And, you know, they respect him for that. And, yeah, he tends to get a little crazy on the sidelines sometimes. I still remember the photograph they shot of him at Butler. I mean, he looked like a guy who was, you know, one step away from, I don't know, like a hospital stay somewhere.
Yeah,
but,
no doubt.
You know, he admitted that for you. Oh, yeah, I was wrong. I know I shouldn't do stuff like that and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he gets the rare technical. You know, I think he's only averaging like one technical a year. I can't remember him getting a technical last year at all. So I guess he's getting better at it.
We are talking to the Philly Inquirer's Joe Giuliano here. He's a beat writer for the Villanova basketball program and the Villanova basketball team, the number one team in the nation and defending champions. Josh Hart, a superstar, you know, again, another player that seems to slide under the radar, but he's up for player of the year. Talk about what he brings to the table every day.
Well, he's just got an incredible motor and an incredible desire to succeed. That's the thing that I like the most about him. I mean, yeah, he's a very capable basketball player, and you know, he can shoot well, he can rebound well, he can defend well, but it's just the desire he has out on the basketball court. He every game there seems to be like two or three plays that Josh Hart makes where you just say, "Wow!" You're sitting there at the press table and you're like, "Wow, look what he did." Like, he jumped, you know, over everybody to get that offensive rebound, or he dove like 6 feet to get that loose ball when the other guy, you know, probably thought he had possession of it. And, you know, Hart took it right away from him because of his just his hustle and his motivation to get the ball back for his team. He's a tremendous team player. I mean, they've got this whole, you know, all for one and one for all deal, but, you know, this is Josh's fourth year in the program. He knows what Jay Wright wants. He knows how to play winning basketball. And in the 4 years he's been here, and this is like an incredible statistic, Villanova has lost just 14 games in his 4 years to
wow.
this point.
Amazing.
So that's off the charts unbelievable. But, you know, this year he's the leader. Obviously, like you said, a player of the year candidate that, you know, he's getting a lot of, you know, we're talking about under the radar. He's getting a lot of respect nationally. So, you know, he'll be right up there, I think, when the votes are all tallied at the end of the season.
And, Joe, how far can this Villanova team go? Do they have the same type of pieces to, I know it's hard to repeat, but do they have that same type of formula to be there at the end?
Well, I tell people that I think they're a player short. Last year they went with an 8-man rotation and succeeded. Other than that injury to Ochefu late in the season, they really didn't have any injury issues. This year they were only rotating seven. Their eighth guy, Phil Booth, who scored 20 points last year in the championship game, had knee surgery in the offseason and really hasn't gotten over it. I mean, he had a sore knee last year and played with it to Jay's utter dismay because, you know, he didn't say that he had a sore knee till after the season ended. And Jay said, "Well, how long has that been going on?" He says, "Oh, about a month." And Jay's like, "You never told me." But this year, he had arthroscopic surgery in the offseason. And this year he played the first three games, had too much pain in his knee, and he's still not back, which leads to the suggestion that he may redshirt. And then a freshman kid, Omari Spellman, a five-star kid from Ohio, who actually played some high school ball in New England, he was ruled academically ineligible. So instead of playing with nine, they're playing with seven, and seven's right on the line. I mean, if you get an injury of those first seven, then you don't really have a chance. So the margin of error is as slim as can be. As far as their capabilities and their desire and their strategy and their motivation, yeah, they can maybe make another Final Four run, but an injury would just be almost catastrophic.
Joe, thanks so much for your time. But before I let you go, a quick question. Best cheesesteak in Philly is where?
Well, I like a place in Northeast Philly named Steve's Princess Steaks. That's my favorite cheesesteak, but I never get up there too much. And I'm getting too old for constant cheesesteak eating.
Joe, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the game today. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. My pleasure. Have a good day.
All right. Philly Inquirer's Joe Giuliano, Villanova Hoops. Interesting conversation. I mean, and again, I think your question about the Big East, Bernie, was fantastic because what a difference it is now. I mean, I understand there's still good basketball in there, but when the Syracuses and the Notre Dames and the Pittsburghs and Georgetowns were all there playing. There were some legendary rivalries there.
And, you used to fight to see, okay, who's going to be the big Monday game of the week. And,
it's a big deal.
Those, and it's just, hard to change, but you appreciate those Georgetown-Syracuse games that much more.
Yeah, and Villanova, too. I mean, Villanova was always a team that was easy to root for. I was always a Virginia fan, so I never got into them. But Big East is always something special. It's sad to see it end. And if you haven't seen the 30 for 30,
yeah,
Big East
one
thing,
of the best ones.
You
got
to watch it.
Yep.
All right, I know you guys are all at the edges of your seats waiting for Bernie to pick football.
Why? So you can go 2-0 since you were 4-0
last
week?
I am just killing it these playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Once the Giants get out, my vision gets a lot clearer. I'm just saying. By the way, if you haven't watched a football game with Rich Haskell,
oh
my God. Dude.
No, how about it? More specific? Let's get more specific.
A Patriot game.
Yeah.
A Patriot game or a team that he likes, you watch it with Rich Haskell? I didn't watch it sitting next to him, but I was in the same place he was at, and we were kind of away from each other. That would have made a lot of people laugh if I were to tape that and put that on Facebook or something. I mean, Rich is like, he goes from being Rich Haskell to a 10-year-old in like 10 seconds.
So you got to love his passion.
Oh, you love it. You love it, but he is a treat. So if you get a chance to watch a real game with Rich Haskell, especially a Patriots game, and now these are a big deal, do it. I'm telling you something. You'll thank me later. All right, quick break. When we come back, we talk football, and I do want to talk about this UVM men's basketball team. This team is unbelievable. 6-0, 16-5 overall, 8 straight wins. Here we come.
It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie.
You understand?
Yeah. Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Thank you for joining us this morning. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I'm Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki.
How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, brother?
Good.
You got a big day ahead of you, don't you?
Always busy, man.
Busy day.
Always busy.
It's tough to be the burn man.
Yeah.
Dave Hunter.
Standing by.
Good job, buddy. Playing hurt with those glasses that aren't yours on. I hope it doesn't hurt your eyes, buddy.
I feel good.
Yeah, good. You're going to take them off. You're not going to be able to see anything.
No, I kind of like it. It makes me feel buzzed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the way I don't even know where to go with that. All right. It's NFC and AFC championship weekend in the NFL. It's down to the Final Four, Bernie. You and I are going to break these games down. I don't want to brag, but I haven't lost a game in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, your Giants lost.
It's 3 weeks. 2 weeks. I haven't lost this week yet. I won all the games last week, David. Okay? So be quiet.
Okay.
All right? Yeah. Take your glasses and just sit over there and stop calling me out all the time.
Be here.
Okay?
If you need me.
now, children. Come on.
Children, all right. All right, let's break it down. The first game, Green Bay at Atlanta. I don't know if there is a more amazing story in the NFL right now than what Aaron Rodgers has done. He has put the whole team on his back. And it's taken them to this NFC Championship game. I don't know. We didn't talk about last week's game, obviously, because it was a week ago. But that throw he made to get them in the field goal position to beat Dallas last week was unbelievable.
That's an understatement. I mean, the play that he made and just,
unbelievable. His arm strength is just unbelievable. And we keep using the word unbelievable. Yeah. But his arm strength is, I mean, he's running across his body. And he just flicks it. He just flicks it, 50 yards down the field. Big catch by the tight end. They put themselves in position for the field goal. He makes it. Mason Crosby knocks it home. And the Green Bay Packers are going to Atlanta.
Yeah, they're going to Atlanta. I guess he's been under the weather.
Yeah,
he's got
heard
the flu
that.
A little bit.
A little
the wide receivers are all hurt. And this is the year of the non-traditional team. You had the Cavaliers. You had the Cubs. Falcons win. Falcons win easy. Puts all these annoying Green Bay fans away. And I'm telling you, it's the year of the Falcons.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think it's easy to like the Falcons. But I have to say, until somebody takes Aaron Rodgers out and he can't get it done, I'm going to pick Green Bay. I don't care who it is. I mean, when you have a quarterback as elite as that guy is and that can has the arm strength he has, it doesn't matter who's catching the ball. I don't care if it's Jordy. I don't care if it's Cobb. I don't care who it is.
What's wrong with Matt Ryan?
I think Green Bay is going to find a way to win this football game. I think they're going to kick a field goal late to win it. I think I said this last week, no big deal. Atlanta, to me, I'm just not sold on yet. The only thing that makes me nervous about picking Green Bay is that Atlanta is very good in that dome. But listen,
and this is the last game in the dome?
No, I agree. There's a lot of things. I have to tell you, right? I just think you ride a hot hand, and I think Aaron Rodgers right now is playing better than anybody in the league. I think he's playing better than Matty Ice. I really do. Matty Ice has got everything going for him. He's got a great running game. Their offensive line is decent. Their defense isn't great. I think there's a lot of the like about them. But until I see somebody beat Aaron Rodgers, and no one's done it in like 10 weeks, okay? He's won. What has he won in a row? Like 8-9 games in a row? Goes into Dallas and wins, beats the Giants. Look, you can say what you want about the Giants, but that Giant defense was playing better than anybody in the league. He just made Swiss cheese of them in the second half.
Stick a fork in the Packers, they're done.
I know, because you have it's like you have an axe to grind with the Pack.
Just one guy in particular.
Yeah, that's why you're doing it.
Yeah, of course.
All right, you got the Falcons, I got the Packers. I got the Pack winning this football game, 37-34, last minute kick by Mason Crosby. What's your score for Atlanta, Green Bay?
I got 31-20, Atlanta.
All right, going to the next game, you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we know Coach Bryson, his Steelers are heading to New England to take on the Pats. Listen, Bryson likes by 10 points. He likes the Pittsburgh Steelers to go into Foxborough and get it done. I got to tell you, Bernie, about this Patriot. I don't know how good this Patriot team is. I just don't know. They haven't played anybody any good in a month. You know, they really struggled last week. Thank goodness that it was the Houston Texans that they were playing last week, or we wouldn't even be talking about them.
How good's Brock Osweiler?
Oh, yikes. Yikes. He's making a lot of money to be pretty bad.
Wow.
Good for him, though.
Yeah, he's laughing at us today.
Yes, he is. Exactly. All right, so we got the Steelers. Listen, I've got concerns about the Steelers' offense. I love the names. I think Bell is the most amazing running back I've ever seen. You obviously love Antonio Brown. Now, on the Pittsburgh side, you got to like it. You got to like what you see. But offensively, they're not scoring points, Bernie. They're skicking a lot of field goals. They're like the Giants. They don't score points. And they haven't in a few weeks. They even kind of started. I know they scored some big plays against Miami. But this is a football team that looks like they should put a lot of points on the board, but they don't. That's what makes me nervous about Pittsburgh.
And that is so true, especially when you play the Patriots. You got to score touchdowns. Coach Bryson said some interesting thoughts, but I just can't believe it. I hear what you're saying in terms of New England. You know, what are
we
they?
Don't know.
We don't know.
They could be great.
But they are. They don't lose.
Yeah, they don't lose.
So, I mean, why? I mean, I just think they're going to continue to win. They're just that good, and I'm telling you, they're going to win. And if they win it all, Tom Brady's walking away on top.
That's not happening. Let me just say something. Yeah, that's not happening. I think.
Why not? He's 40 years old. He wins another Super Bowl. He's the greatest of all time. He can take the trophy from Roger Goodell and tell him to go have a nice day once and for all.
I think Roger Goodell would want him to be out of the league. I think that would be doing. I think he comes back and tries to win more.
But this is the hero versus the villain, and that creates even, not that the NFL is ever going to lose attention, but it just creates more attention, so he wants him to stay.
All right, we'll get into this in a second, but let's get it. Who do you got winning?
New England.
All right, I got New England winning as well. I don't think, until somebody can beat them.
I want to be different then. I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Right,
I want to be different.
Fair enough. Yeah, okay, fine. See, this is why I know he takes our show seriously. Because,
what do you mean?
You're telling me you want to be, the only reason you're picking Pittsburgh is to be different than me.
Right.
Because
you went 4-0.
I want to know who you think's going to win.
You went 4-0 last week.
Yes, I did.
I went 2-2.
Yes,
there's
you did.
Two games this week.
Right.
I need to make up two games. That's why I'm taking Atlanta and
Fine.
Pittsburgh.
All right, I got Atlanta. I got New England. I'm concerned about New England.
No, you got Atlanta.
I got Green Bay.
You just said you got Atlanta.
You have Atlanta. I have Green Bay. I have New England. You have Pittsburgh.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I am concerned about this Patriot team, though, and I think if you're a Patriot fan, you need to. But I don't know if the Steelers can get enough pressure on Brady to cause a problem. I know Brady's going to put points on the board. Pittsburgh, to me, again, they don't score enough points, but I have to tell you, I can't wait to see what they do. Do you think it's a big deal that you see that whole thing with the Facebook thing where Antonio Brown videoed I mean, really. And I think Tomlin's such an awesome. I love Tomlin. And what I don't think he said anything that would make me upset, even if I was coaching the Patriots.
What did he say that was wrong?
Well, he dropped the
AH. Oh, okay. Well,
but that's just talking to the guy. Listen, we're going to go out there and we're going to beat these guys.
But
you know?
In terms of the 2 days extra preparation, all the stuff, all he did was speak the truth.
Of course. And he's a great coach. I love his reaction.
Don't
I think
Terry
Tomlin
Bradshaw
is great.
That.
And again, that's his opinion. I mean, you know, everybody beats up TB, but, you know, I mean, Terry Bradshaw, listen, he was in the movie Cannonball Run. Do you ever see that movie? There's not a, I mean, okay, that tells you what you know about Terry Bradshaw.
You get points for running over people.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Bernie, here's it. Yes, David?
You can ask me what I think?
No.
No.
Sorry. Care less. No.
You didn't even know the Rams hired a coach last week, so.
He didn't even know the Rams were in L.A.
No, he didn't know that.
He thought Deacon Jones still played for the Rams. You know what I mean?
See how I shut off the music?
Yeah, I didn't see that. All right, so let's talk about this real quick. So I have Green Bay. You have Atlanta.
Yep.
I got the Pats. You have the Steelers.
I mean, people are telling me that I'm waffling on the
you
Pittsburgh.
Are, and you
no,
are.
I'm not.
And you
no,
are.
Not.
I mean, the whole point of picking games, Bernie, is so the people that are out there that, you know, we're supposed to have some knowledge, all right? And we're supposed to be able to tell people who we think is going to win. And all you want to do is just beat me. It's not we can't be on the same page for one game. I mean, is that what's happening here? I mean, all of a sudden, we just can't be on the same page for one game?
No.
No, okay, fair enough. Yeah. All right, you have an interesting philosophy.
Yeah.
That, let's just say that Tommy Terrific and the Patriots go out and win tomorrow.
And again, I have to give credit to one of my neighbors who brought this to my attention.
Sure. Where was that neighbor when you fell on your back?
Stop. Well, you know? I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, you're good. Good. Okay.
Good. Okay.
I want to make sure you're all right.
Yes,
I worry
you.
About you walking nowadays, man. You know? Let me tell you something. It's a long way down for you when you go down like that, brother.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
I worry
you.
About that. Okay. I hope that neighbor, if he's listening, be looking out your window for poor Bernie when he goes get
fault.
The mail.
That's my own fault for
people
falling.
Should be out there watching
no,
or being sand out there.
That's my own fault for falling.
Man, I wish somebody taped that.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know what would be more interesting for me to see. I mean, now that I know you're okay.
Yes.
But you just doing the, you know, the compute yard sale in the front of your house.
Yes.
Or Rich Haskell jumping up and down after the Patriots won the other day. I'm not sure what is more interesting or more funny for me.
Rich.
Yeah, Rich was pretty.
Yeah, because that's continual.
Oh,
like
man.
I was just 2 seconds.
Rich and I love Rich Haskell. I love him, man. He is such a I mean, it's like he comes out of his body for a second. We all love our teams.
Do you think he got that upset over the Bruins losing 1-0 last night to the Blackhawks?
I don't know. I'm sure there are things probably thrown around.
Yeah,
but I don't
hopefully
know about
not
that.
His cat.
No,
he does throw things around.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, about, you know, he was jumping around the. Oh, he was so funny. I went to him after. I said, "Were you really nervous?" And he said, "Well, you know, I mean, you know, I was kind of nervous. Yeah, of course I was nervous. You never know." You
that's
know?
Right. Brock Osler, if he can make a pass and if the guy Fuller can make a catch.
Oh, yeah. Fuller from Notre Dame. He caught everything at Notre Dame.
Ugh.
Man.
Can't catch a cold now.
No, he can't. Well, it's tough to win in New England.
Right. But anyways, Tom Brady.
Yes,
he wins. He walks.
No way.
You see what Peyton did? You see what Ortiz did? You just walked.
Talking about, what did Ortiz do? He didn't win a championship.
His tour and all the good
did he win
fellowship.
A championship? Did he take it away with the championship?
No, he did
okay,
not.
Okay, so do not compare Tom Brady to David Ortiz.
I'm just saying.
No, you're just trying to be another Boston homer that's got to tie everything to David Ortiz, Big Poppy.
Oh, wow. I wasn't going, I mean, you know.
No, you were going there.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, fair enough. Finish your point.
I'm just saying that I think, don't you think it would be kind of apropos if Tom Brady wins the title and walks?
But don't you think Tom Brady's still at the top of his game? And don't you think that Peyton Manning would still be playing if he was playing to the level of Tom Brady right now? I think Tom Brady, seriously, he can win another 2-3 championships. The AFC is bad. I mean, for the exception of Pittsburgh, come on. Who else in the AFC?
Oakland, if they had a healthy quarterback.
Okay, so there's two other teams in that division.
Kansas City,
they're not Patriot
that,
level.
Is close.
I'm not saying that there's not two or three teams that could beat the Patriots.
Right.
But New England is clearly the best team in the AFC.
They've been the best team in the
for
15 years.
Then why would he walk away?
Why? I don't know. I'm just saying to get some muster it up. Let's get some muster.
I think he's going to play at least like until. I could see this guy playing at least 45, 46
absolutely,
years old.
Absolutely. But let's get some conversation going.
Bernie's neighbor.
Oh, good.
No.
Bernie's neighbor's on the line. Good morning, Bernie's neighbor.
Hi. I live on the other side of the neighborhood from him, so I didn't actually see the
house.
Bernie, I'm glad you're doing all right.
Right. Thank you. This is where the theory came from.
Yeah, is it a big deal?
Walking my dog when that happened, I would have gladly helped give him a hand.
Was there a chalk outline? Was there a chalk outline there where he had fallen when you walked through the neighborhood nowadays? Where he went down? Was there an area there that you could see where?
No, all the rain washed it away.
Oh, what's it like living in the same neighborhood as Bernie Siplicki? Is it a big people like you know the people come up with the take pictures of the house and hope they catch him going out to get the mail or anything? Is that like
no,
that?
No, but, I mean, he rivals Coach Irvin with, you know, helping out in the community. We had a windstorm go through a few years ago and knock some trees out. He was out there with chainsaw, cutting stuff up, helping people move stuff.
Hold on a minute.
Great guy.
That your wife allowed you to take a chainsaw outside?
She was very nervous.
I can imagine. And the fact that you have a chainsaw is impressive. Were you borrowing a chainsaw?
Borrowing.
Yeah, because I can't imagine you have a chainsaw.
No.
You know, Bernie, I got to tell you, you know, you really are. People just, they can't. David, thank God you and I are here to dig on Bernie. Because in his world, there's a glow around Bern.
He's
you know?
Famous.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Star.
He's a big deal.
So why do you think Tom Brady would retire?
I think that he's just sick of the minutia, everybody hating on him. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to take this trophy from you, Mr. Goodell, and tell you to stick it.
I'm on delay.
And I'm going to go hang out with my supermodel wife and spend the rest of my life in Costa Rica. I can go surf and be alone.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, it's an interesting philosophy. And if he did it, it would be something. But I don't think Tom Brady cares that there are haters. I don't think that Tom Brady cares about Roger Goodell. I think Tom –
you know what? Honestly, it's a hypothesis. And I know it goes against the grain of all professional athletes because they're the ultimate consummate when it comes to being alpha males. And they don't know when to walk away. But I think Tom Brady has some dignity and has some self-respect, and he's just like, I'm done with it.
They got to win two games. Let's see what happens. I love that thought.
It's interesting to think, and I'm sure that everybody else in the NFL is hoping he walks away as well, knowing that he wouldn't be in the league. But I got to tell you, Tom Brady is still one of the elite quarterbacks in football and could probably win two or three more championships. But we'll see. Hey, Bernie's Neighbor, thanks for calling. And next time, why don't you, you know, be out there for the big fella when he goes down. People be looking out for Bernie in the neighborhood. He's having trouble on the ice. Okay, everybody out, look out the window. Keep an eye out for him. Give him a hand when he goes to the mail. We'll be right back.
All right.
Burlington on ESPN Radio or on the ESPN app.
This show is just off the deep end.
Sports Saturday.
Honestly, it's like drive it off a cliff.
On 101.3.
Honestly.
ESPN.
See how easy obtaining the right mortgage for you can be. Call Vermont Mortgage Company today at 802-863-2020. That's 863-2020. Or visit them online at vermontmortgagecompany.com. Vermont Mortgage Company. Mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. Tell Nick that Bernie and Jeff sent you. Hey, Bern, another great show, buddy.
We're done already, man?
We're done already. And I'm glad to see, honestly, I'm glad you're okay. I joke a lot about that fall, but I'm glad you're all
right. Thank you.
I'm glad you're okay. I was worried about you last week. You were a little foggy. You know?
What else is new?
That's true. That's why I didn't think there was anything wrong.
Right.
But then when you said, hey, you know, I slid into home plate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That I did.
You've been injured a lot lately.
Getting old, man.
And he's playing hurt. That's what I like about Bernie. He plays hurt. That's why Bernie has a sandwich and we don't.
Yeah.
Hey, big weekend for you, pal. You got the Lakers playing some hockey today. You're going to be around, obviously, be around the community.
Got a couple games at Letty. The girls are with Burlington getting ready to play at 12:10 here, and then the boys tonight at 8. So fun night of hockey in Lakerland.
Yeah, big night at Lakerland. All right, I want to thank Joe Caligiuri, founder of Stadium Performance. He's the one that gave us some insight on the Patriots. Interesting interview with him, don't you think?
What a stud, man.
Yeah,
I mean, the stories he must have must be awesome.
Yeah, and he's been a part of a couple championships, being a part of Patriots. I mean, he had that story about Brady going to Vegas, losing his wallet. You know, and then he goes, I can't tell you the whole thing, but the wallet came back.
You can only imagine.
Oh, my God. I wonder why that wallet came back. There must be a story behind that. Irvin Bryson, the head coach of the Bucks, joined us. He stayed two and a half segments, basically. Got to talk a little football about the Bucks. Listen, if you haven't gotten into this yet, understand what's happening here. We are about to have a professional indoor football team at Gutterson Arena called the Vermont Bucks. Get yourself online. Get your tickets. It's going to be rocking over there.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. St. Patrick's Day, the opening, coach's anniversary. Just a lot of good stuff happening. And sounds like they have a very entertaining and exciting team coming our way.
They do, and it's relatively cheap to go. I mean, if you've been to the Gut, all the seats are good. They're like $15, $20 seats. Call up right now. Get your seats. Get their opening day. He wants to rock that place. Joe Giuliano, the Philly Inquirer's Joe Giuliano, Villanova basketball, the number one team in the country, getting ready to play Providence. He called us today. We talked to him live about what he thinks those Wildcats can do.
Yeah, he thinks they're very talented. The seven-man rotation could be dangerous, but, you know, another good year of college basketball is starting to gear up.
All right, everybody, enjoy your weekend. We're another local show on the weekend. We're Sports Saturday, every Saturday from 10 to noon on 101.3 ESPN.
WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.
Hey, this is Adele Murphy, captain of the Norwich women's hockey team.
This is Austin Sirowick, captain of the Norwich men's hockey team.
And you're listening to Burlington and Plattsburgh's Home for Sports.
101.3 ESPN. Go Wick.
DeRocher Auto, the name.